The Center for Social Leadership presents The Four Lost American Ideals by Oliver DeMille. This lecture was presented before a live audience. For more information, resources, and supplemental materials, please visit fourlostamericanideals.com.
In the year 1764, Thomas Jefferson got dumped by his girlfriend. He was heartbroken. In fact, he was so heartbroken by the whole thing that 20 years later he was still lamenting the thing in his journal and talking about how much it had hurt him. It got worse, however, because he got a note from his best friend. His best friend said, "I need to talk to you, Thomas." He said, "Okay." He thought, you know, he's going to come cheer me up. This is great. His best friend came, sat down. He began to tell his best friend about how heartbroken he was and how hard this was. And his best friend said, "No, I need to tell you something. He said, "Well, okay, what is it?" He said, "Thomas, I'm getting married." He said, "That's wonderful. I got dumped, but you're getting married. That's great. That's fabulous. You know, when's the wedding?" And he said, "No, Thomas, you need to listen to me. I'm marrying her." Jefferson, like I said, was still heartbroken 20 years later. He said that he kind of was giving up on the romance for a time, which he did, and settled down to study with his mentor, George Wythe. In that same year, 1764, John Adams was a teacher at a small community school in the city of Boston. He wrote in his journal that he really liked being a teacher, and the reason he liked it is because it wasn't stressful. He said, "I hope that I can spend my life doing things that are just enjoyable. I can think, I can teach, I can talk, I can learn, I can go home and be with my family, and I don't have to get caught up in all these stressful and frustrating events that happen in the world, in politics, in law, in other areas." He met Abigail that year. They courted. They were married in September. In that same year, 1764, James Madison was in his 13th year. He was a student. He was a good student. His mentors and his parents corresponded back and forth. They were both sets were very happy that he was such a great student, but they were both very concerned because he was so quiet and shy that they wondered if he'd ever amount to anything. In that same year, 1764, George Washington was a businessman. Records show that his major effort that year was an unsuccessful attempt to get out of debt. He did make a profit, and it wasn't many years after that he was able to be more successful. That was the year 1764. A decade later, these same individuals would declare independence from the greatest power on the face of the earth, and they would sign it with their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. A decade after that, they would write and help ratify the Constitution of the United States. Gladstone called it the greatest work ever struck off by the mind and purpose of man. But in 1764, these were just regular people. A teacher, a college student, a younger student, a business person. So here's my question for you tonight. What took these regular people, like you and me, in 1764 and turned them into the greatest generation of statesmen, of leaders, that the world's ever known? See, they really were just regular people. They weren't somehow genetically superior to us. Great men and women in history aren't better somehow. They aren't inherently superior. But they do make choices, and those choices have consequences. Our generation will face similar challenges. I don't know exactly what they'll be. And I'm not predicting that because I have a crystal ball and I can see the future. I'm predicting that because every generation in history has its challenges. There are no exceptions. In fact, our generation is lucky in that we've gone a long time without the level of challenge, the level of difficulty that happens to most generations. Another way to say that is we're long overdue for some serious challenges. Now, I'm an optimist. I'm not saying that's pessimistic. I'm not a doomsayer. I'm not saying there's bad things. I think the very best that America has to offer, the very best that the world has to offer, is still ahead. I really believe that. I really believe that the best we have to offer is still ahead. But understand that when societies give their best, it's because they're in the midst of challenges, and so they have to rise to that occasion. They have to rise to that level. It's great because that's who we are. That's our generation. That's why we're here. That's who our children are. And it's exciting to look ahead, like the founders did in 1764, realize that challenges are ahead, which they did, and prepare another generation to be ready. Tonight I want to cover four lost ideas of America. There are really five ideas of America. The first one is freedom. But that one's not lost. We still know the word. We still talk about the word. The danger, though, is that if we lose the other four, see, all five of these ideas of Americanism are connected. And if we lose the other four, then eventually we will lose that ideal of freedom. We will lose the freedom that that founding generation fought so hard and that later generations in the Civil War and World War II fought so hard to maintain. So these four lost ideas are essential. They're essential because we're Americans. Everybody here tonight, hopefully, are Americans. Think about that word for a minute, because it used to mean something. You can be American or you can be un-American. You can be called un-American even if you were born in America. That doesn't work if you were Irish. There's no such thing as un-Irish. There's no such thing as un-South African. There's no such thing as un-Chinese, un-Nigerian. But there is such a thing as un-American. And the reason there's such a thing is because it means something different. It means something different than just we're born in a certain geographical place. Being an American used to mean, I think it still does, we've just forgotten part of it. It used to mean that we believed in and lived our lives according to five ideas, the first one being freedom. The other four we've lost. And so tonight I want to talk about what those four are, because I think the people here tonight want to be Americans. In a lot of ways I'm preaching to the choir because I think you guys are Americans. But there are so many out there who would be Americans if they only knew what it meant.